Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today, Lord is willing, we'll be investigating three more verses in Quran chapter 16, as we'll find out huge errors, not only in the writings of the Word of Allah in the Quran, as we'll be seeing contradictions between one passage and another, but even in the great scholars of Islam interpretations of the Quran. So let us look at Quran chapter 16, verses 24, 25, and 26. Here is the word of Allah. And when it was said to them, "What did your Lord send down?" They said, "The legends of the ancients, to carry their burdens completely on the resurrection day, and some of the burdens of those whom they misled without knowledge. Is it not evil what they bear? Indeed, the people before them deceived. So Allah annihilated their buildings from the foundations, so the roof dropped on them from above them, and the torment came to them from where they did not feel." These are simply three verses. Anyone who reads them could not come up with hardly any knowledge. You have no clue what Muhammad said or what Muhammad meant by what he said. And that is a problem for the Muslims who believe they do not need scholars to help them to understand the Quran. After all, Allah said in the Quran, it is pure Arabic, easy to understand. When in reality, once again, in chapter 16, the book of the beasts, we find out this is not true. Maybe, when Muhammad was copying some of the biblical accounts and inserts them in his Quran, even though he literally destroyed many of the facts about these stories, but because people in general have some knowledge or previous conceptions of knowledge, like they know about Noah, they know about Abraham, they know about Moses, they know about Jesus and David and Joseph, and on with these stories. So now we can say, yeah, the Quran has a message. But when we read Quran chapter 16, which is a full chapter, does not have anything to do with the biblical account. That is, we find out Muhammad had a problem. And the problem is, his poetry is not worthy to be even written on a piece of paper, or it cannot be understood. Even though, as we're going to see today, the interpretation of Muslim scholars to verse 26, they're trying to tie that verse to that which took place in Genesis chapter 11 concerning the story of the Tower of Babel. But even when the Muslim scholars try to connect Quran 16:26 to the story of the Tower of Babel, they still did not do what is right, because they added wrong information and they fabricated many lies to make sense out of the Quran. So let us quickly look at the interpretation of verse 24 as stated by so-called Muslim scholars. Al-Tabari is telling us, when the people of Quraysh, these are the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, those who partnered many of their false gods with Allah, when they were asked about what was revealed to Muhammad. We're talking about the Quran here. Here is the verse once again. And when it was said to them, these are the emphasis of Christ, "What did your Lord send down?" I have a problem just to say that Allah is the Lord of the infidels. Allah is the Lord of the mushrikeen, those who worship the idols and added them to Allah. Because if that is the case, then God could not be their Lord. The question must be written as follows. It's supposed to say, what did Allah send on Muhammad? What did Allah send in the Quran? Not what did your Lord send down? Because if they do not believe in God to be the Lord of their life, how can Allah say in the Quran that Allah is their Lord? No, maybe they're worshiping the Lord of this world, who is Satan. But that Lord cannot be the God of Muhammad, if Muhammad really believed that Allah is Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the Bible. and listen to their answer. The answer was very clear. It is the legends of the ancients. Yes, indeed. Most of what Muhammad wrote in the Quran was the legends of the ancients. And the evidence is very simple. Read the Quran and read the Bible, and you found that most of the Quran come out of the Bible. Or other stories, as we have shared that many times in the past, Muhammad was just copying bits and pieces from here and there to make up his poetry of the Quran. But for the word legend, the great Muslim scholars Al-Tabri is telling us it is the lies or the non-benefit stories of the past, which was written before Muhammad. Legends are not true, but false information. Well, I'm sorry to say that if that was the answer of the polytheists in Muhammad's day, those infidels, then we must correct them. Because that is a problem we see even today in the 21st century. Many of the Muslims who left Islam and became atheists, they will tell you that the stories of the Quran were taken from the Bible, which is a corrupt book as well. So not only they are rejecting the Quran and the stories of the Quran, but they rejected the source of the stories of the Quran, which is the Bible. Why? Because they never studied the Bible to learn the truth about what really took place in the Bible, not what Muhammad claimed that that is what happened. Yes, Jews, Christians, and Muslims believe in Adam. But according to Muhammad, Adam was a 60-yard tall man. We're talking about 180 feet long man. Now, anybody who has some logic or common sense will mock what the Quran said about Adam. Especially the more you learn about what Muhammad said and the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars about Adam, you have no option but to reject the entirety of the Quran. Why? Because it is foolish to believe Adam was 180 feet long. But is that what the Bible said? If we go to Genesis account and learn about Adam, do we see him to be a tall man of 180 feet? Of course not. So here's the problem. Muslims reject the Quran because the Quran does not make any sense. And because they know that the story of the Quran came from the Bible. Therefore, they also reject the Bible, not realizing that the counterfeit, the foolish information, the nonsensical material which Muhammad wrote in his Quran has nothing to do with that which is written in the true biblical account. And we can go on and on with the rest of the Quran to prove to you that yes, the Quran is the old stories which were written in the Bible, but it's not the same, because the Quran is a foolish counterfeit. It is a corruption to that which is written in the Holy Bible, as we're going to prove this even today to you from verse 26. Now let's move on to verse 25. For there we read once again, Allah said to carry their burdens completely on the resurrection day, and some of the burdens of those whom they misled without knowledge. Is it not evil what they bear? What are we talking about? We're talking about the judgment of Allah. That is when Allah will be punishing the idol worshippers, the polytheists, because they did not do what is right. They did not believe in Allah. And not only they did not believe in Allah, but they misled others also to not to believe in Allah. And as you read the scholar's interpretation, Al-Tabari, for example, is telling us that these people will be justifiably punished by Allah by paying for their sins. Not only that, but they also carry or bear some of the sins of the people whom they misled without knowledge. So Allah's going to punish them, extra punishment, about the people who were misled by them, even though they did not know that they have done that. And the scholars of Islam assured us, even though these infidels, these polytheists, they'll be punished fully for their sins, and they'll be punished for other people's sins, but the other people's punishment will not be lessened, meaning they will be paying their full punishment for their sin as well. So Allah is going to punish the polytheists for their sins, and they will punish them extra punishment for misleading others, and those others will be punished as well, fully for their sins. So Allah will punish the sin twice. One by the people who committed, and another time by the people who led them to commit it, even though they did not know that's exactly what they were doing. By the way, if you read the hadith, the saying of Muhammad, he's telling us the same thing. According to the writings of so-called Muslim scholars, Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, said, who calls to misguidance and is followed, then upon him is the burden of those who followed him. If I mislead somebody, I will be punished for it, and those who follow me, I will be punished on their behalf as well, without any reduction from their burden in the slightest, which means I will be punished for my sin, and I will be punished for some of the sin of those who follow me, and they will have full punishment for their sins. Yes, indeed, the Quran and the saying of Muhammad here are in agreement.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
But then we have a problem in the Quran. Why is that? Because if I would take you to Quran chapter 6 and verse 164, Allah has given us a completely different opinion about people paying for other people's sins. As a matter of fact, Muslims will tell you that Jesus could not die on the cross for the sin of the world. Why? Because he could not carry the sin of somebody else. Every person paid for his own sin. Here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 6 and verse 164. Say, will I seek a Lord other than Allah? And he is Lord of everything. Listen carefully to the next piece here. And every soul will not earn except what is against it, that no bearer of a burden bears the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, so he will inform you about what you were differing. The interpretation of that verse, that is Quran chapter 6 and verse 164, is very clear. Every man pay for his sin. Every woman pay for her sin. Nobody could pay for the sin of another person. That is a direct contradiction to that which we have read in Quran chapter 16 and verse 25. For if Quran chapter 16 verse 25 is accurate, that means Jesus could be the bearer of all the sin of the world. After all, if he is God Almighty, he has the power and the strength to do so. Well, now let's move on to verse 26 of Quran chapter 16. For there we read, indeed, the people before them deceived. So Allah annihilated their buildings from the foundations, so the roof dropped on them from above them, and the torment came to them from where they did not feel. What is this verse talking about? That is a mystery. Why? Because Muhammad did not give us any details whatsoever about who are these people, when and what happened to them, what was the end of the story was about. We do not know. But somehow, the scholars of Islam were able to tie that verse to that which took place in the biblical account concerning the Tower of Babel. Here is an interpretation of the great Muslim scholar, Al-Tabari, who said that, indeed, the polytheists who hinder on the way of Allah who did not want other people to follow the religion of Allah, built a huge building to go up to the heavens to wage war against those who are in heaven. And he does not know exactly who it is, but some people said that this was Nimrod, son of Canaan. Now, we have a problem with that statement. Why? Because we know about Nimrod and we know about Canaan. Because believe it or not, Canaan did not have any children by the name Nimrod. First of all, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6, we know that Ham, the son of Noah, had four sons, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. Now, as for that Canaan, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 15, we know he had two sons, Sidon, who is the firstborn, and Hatha. Now, we do not see Nimrod to be a son of Canaan. How about Nimrod? Where did he really come from? If you go with me one more time to the book of Genesis chapter 10, in verse 7, we know that Cush had the children Seba, Huwaila, Septa, Rama, Septeka, and then we know that Banu Rama, Sheba, Wadidan. In verse 8, Cush have a son, and what is the name of the son? His name is Namrud, or Nimrod in English. As we read, Cush begotten Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. In verse 9, we continue, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. In verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Kilne, in the land of Shinar. Now, as you continue to read in Genesis chapter 10, in verse 1, we learn about the three sons of Noah. These are Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We learn about the sons of Japheth beginning from verse 2 to verse 5. As the sons of Ham, they were written between verses 6 to verse 20. As for the sons of Shem are in verse 20 to verse 31. These are all the children of Noah from his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, we read, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. What is that language? We do not know. But somehow, Muslim scholars can give you a fabricated answer. Not only they can give us fabricated answer about the original language, but they give us a fabricated answer, or we can say fabricated interpretation, to Quran chapter 16 and verse 26, trying to tie that one verse which have no meaning about whatsoever to be the story which we read in Genesis chapter 11 concerning the building of the Tower of Babel and how God stopped the descendants of Noah from building that tower. This fabrication started when Al-Tabri told us that Nimrod is the one who built the tower. Or other Muslim scholars said actually it was Bakhtasar, that is Nebuchadnezzar, in the country of Iraq, which by the way came way, way, way after the flood. Which, by the way, Muslim scholars tie him to the story of Abraham. That is a king who disputed with Abraham, which we read about in Quran chapter 14 and verse 46. As it is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 258. And as you read the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars, you cannot help but to laugh. That king, no matter who is he, if it is Nimrod or Nebuchadnezzar, or whatever person he was, he actually is the one who brought two eagles and he feds them and he feds them and he feds them, makes them so strong. And then he ties them both to a box and then he sat in the box and he made them so hungry and he carried a piece of meat on a stick far away above them and he caused them to fly up and up and up to get that meat to eat. And the higher he got, the smaller the earth became under him, that it makes the mountain look like flies. And he did that so he can go up to Allah to fight Allah, the God of Abraham, or that he may see whom Abraham claimed to be God. And because he could not go up high enough to do it, and because of some fear, he came back to earth. And that's when they began to build the Tower of Babel for the purpose to go up to fight with Allah, the God of the universe. And because the building fell on them, as stated in verse 26, so the roof dropped on them from above them, and the torment came to them from where they did not feel. Because of that great fear, somehow they began to speak in 73 tongues. The great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari said that's why that place was called Babel. And that's when he made up his fabrication that all the people before that day, they used to speak the Syriani language. How that king died? It is another great comedy story. Why? Because Allah causes a fly to go inside his nose. And that fly stayed inside his nose for 400 years. And he used to hit his head with hammers. And then after Allah tormented him, he died. What a great fabrication to the true biblical account concerning the Tower of Babel. You can easily, my friend, go to the Genesis account, chapter 11, and read the entire story of what really took place in the life of the children of Noah and how they began to build the tower. And the purpose was not to seek God, to go on war with God, but simply that they would be united together in one spot. Not to be living obedient to God's words and God's command to fill the earth. That's why God touched their tongue and they were not able to communicate to build the tower. There was no tower completely built and the roof of the tower fell on them, as Allah stated in Quran 16:26. No, the building stopped because they could not communicate with each other. And from there, the Lord divided them all over the world. That is the true biblical account, which you can read in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.